Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today, kid?
Interesting choice of wardrobe by you.
That's right.
You get on me for wearing sports stuff all the time. I'm not wearing any sports stuff today, but
well,
my radio
done.
Partner is wearing a sports logo.
What am I rocking today, Evan?
That would be a logo of the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference.
All right.
I'm saying this positively. New York Knicks.
That's right. Over 500 at the break.
Good for you, man.
People pregnant all day long.
That's right.
And rocking. You know, it's funny. I forgot I had this shirt. And sometimes when you just pull a random shirt out, you wind up wearing the same clothes repeatedly.
Oh, yes. I know.
We've all done
well.
That, right?
Yes.
This one was at the bottom of the pile. So it's a little wrinkly. But I was up early today working out at 6 a.m. with my son, which I do a couple days a week. And now that I got to lose, the 10 pounds of TV weight, because I got to lose 10 pounds of TV weight, because I can't have this beautiful face look this ugly when we start in May. I pulled one out. I got lucky. This was not a plan.
Well, I'm a little disappointed.
This just shows you I believe in a higher power. I randomly pulled out of the bottom of the barrel a Knicks shirt. It was meant to be.
No, that sounds like you're front running a little bit. As if I got to wait until it's the All-Star break. I'm five seed. Things are going well. Now I'll wear my
Knicks
shirt.
That's not my style. Front running.
Why was it at the bottom of the bottle?
That's a very good question. I'm going to have to talk to the people that are in charge of my clothes piles to find it, which is me, of course. I have no peoples anymore. I forgot I had it.
Huh.
I thought it was just a regular black shirt. I pull it out. Bang! New Year. And by the way, that's not a shirt you see a lot.
No, it's a cool-looking shirt.
It's an old-school, go New York, go New York, go shirt.
I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed.
With the Jerry West logo on the left.
For now.
The New York on the right.
But this
and
reeks,
the circular Knicks in the center.
But this reeks of, hey, the team's finally playing well. Let me find my Knicks
shirt.
You're
damn right it does.
As long as you admit it.
But I said the true story is I pulled it not knowing.
Right.
And then when I saw it, I was like, here's what I was going to wear.
What?
I had my Rutgers full zip up going today because it's a dope sweatshirt with the hood and the Rutgers on the sleeve, full zip. I was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to wear a shirt under it.
That's right.
I pulled this bad boy out, and Rutgers had to wait till Monday.
No, we got to celebrate the Knicks on this Friday, man.
So Rutgers is going to wait till next week, but I'll put on my Pat Hobbs Rutgers sweatshirt next week.
Good for you.
I got no problem with that. I'm good with that.
It feels like we're reversing roles now. You're going to become the sports logo guy, and I'm going to be the blank hoodie, comfortable sweatshirt
maybe,
guy.
Maybe. So no Wayne Gretzky today. As you may have heard, his pops passed away. 92 years old. So that'd be the first show without Wayne in 3 months or something like that. But, got me thinking about Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
The greatest hockey player of all time,
right?
No
question.
I think I saw a stat that I had forgotten about the other day, and obviously I'm not a hockey guy, but Wayne Gretzky, right?
He's Wayne Gretzky.
I think the stat was, and someone, obviously will correct me if I'm wrong, that if you took away all the goals Wayne Gretzky scored in his career, which is 19,000 goals or something, he would still have more points than any player in the history of the sport. Something like stupid.
Yeah, it's,
you know what I'm saying? Like something just totally ridiculous about his total points, the assists and all that stuff. And I go, there's no way that's possible. And then somebody told me it was possible.
He has more assists than any other player in history has points.
Points, so that it's accurate. So
yes.
If Wayne Gretzky never scored a single goal, He has more points than anybody that's ever played the game without a single goal.
Well, it's why...
That's stupid.
He was, and you can only compare people to their eras, because I know you like to make the point, if you took an NBA player from the 70s and you put him in today, they'd get smoked. It's not about that. It's about comparing it to your contemporaries. And Wayne Gretzky led the league in goals and assists, and points, obviously, every freaking year.
Yeah.
Like, there was nobody close to this guy.
And you would think, as, you know, sports rules change and there's more scoring and this and that, that, you know, Crosby and Ovechkin, like the great players, would have at some point gotten close. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like in basketball, you know, Kobe broke a record. You know, for a long time, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like untouchable, right? LeBron obviously jumping up. Right. Guys will eventually pass other guys.
Right. Because
that's
the game
the nature
is changing
of sports,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, football, total yards, total touchdowns. You know, blah, 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 blah. Wayne Gretzky is a standalone cat when it comes to that. And you can't beat that with a bat. Old school. Anyway. Here's my thing for you.
Yes.
And you're a parent. I'm a parent. Big Mac's a parent. We don't want Tommy to be a parent. So we're all on the same page here, okay? I wondered, since his dad passed away, for those of you out there that are either really special at what you do, have some great gift or skill, or if you're a parent, right, which covers pretty much our entire audience, right? What is it like? And I'm trying to put myself through this because I love my children. My children are fantastic in every way, shape, and form. They each have their own skill sets. They're each good at some things, not great at other things, and they're all, you know, uniquely individual, right? Could you imagine the pressure of being the mom or dad of someone with an otherworldly, extraordinary talent?
Right.
And I was thinking about this driving in when I heard the news that Wayne Gretzky's dad passed away at 92. Like, at what point did Mr. Gretzky and Mrs. Gretzky realize that Wayne Gretzky was special?
Oh, like four. That,
well, I'm asking. Like, yeah. That he was different. That he could do things other kids couldn't do. And we've got to do everything in our power to embrace that, to foster it, and to allow it to shine.
Right.
Now, not everyone knows that. The far majority of professional athletes, because it's so hard to become a pro athlete, and I used to ask this question all the time, and as we get into the spring and, you know, the fall next year, I'm sure you'll hear me ask this for guests, you know, frequently. Like, when did you know that you were special as the athlete?
Right.
When did you know you had a gift? That you were just better than every other kid on the block just because you woke up that day? You know, without trying to be, you could throw a ball harder, run faster, whatever the case may be. But I started thinking as a dad, now you're not there because your kids are so young.
Right.
Like, what if Jed or Spence, you know, not because you wanted, not like a Todd Marinovich thing where his dad wanted to raise a pro athlete. Like, what if you just woke up one day and the first time you take Jed to whatever sport he plays first, soccer, baseball, he's just, oh my God, there's something about that kid, right?
Right.
How do you handle that as a parent? And I was thinking about Wayne Gretzky's dad. He had the responsibility of essentially staying out of the way, but also nurturing and fostering this amazing talent.
But Wayne Gretzky's dad, and I remember reading about this long ago, like had Wayne and his brothers, I think, doing hockey drills when they were like 5 years old.
Okay.
Now, Wayne was obviously born with an incredible talent. You don't become that player without that God-given talent. But at a young age up in Canada, they were doing drills at a young age. So I think in Wayne's part, it probably was the combination of this insane talent that I'm sure his father realized, but also working on his skills at an insanely young age. Like,
yeah.
I think they knew he was great when he was 8 years old.
See, I wonder that. Like, I've met a lot of pro athletes. You've met a lot of pro athletes. I've become friendly with a lot of these guys. And the thing that I always wonder, like, some guys just were great athletes. They went through Little League or played, you know, Babe Ruth League or, you know, they're football players. They went Pop Warner, private team, you know, a high school team, college, pro. Well, yeah, that's the usual kind of arc for this, right? But I'm not talking about the great athlete that happens to become a pro. They're special, too. I'm talking about the greats. I'd love to know, like, if you want to talk about what would interest me from a podcast or a reality show or, you know, a docuseries, I want to find out what it was like for the parents and the siblings of the great one, of the Gretzky, of the Jordan. Like, you know the famous story? Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team.
Right.
He got cut. Wasn't good enough to play. And then, of course, he became the greatest player of all time. Now, his parents were working people. His parents didn't nurture him as a basketball player. They had a small little hoop outside the house. He was outside and playing with his older brother. And then he became the greatest player of all time. So my point is, sometimes you don't even know it.
Right.
But as Wayne Gretzky's dad passed away, I was just fascinated.
Well, that's, you know,
I think those stories are more fascinating than the story of the guy that made it.
Well, look at...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Remember the story of Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets?
Yeah.
The story goes that Steve Cohen was so special at a young age, his parents recognized that he was different than his siblings and other kids. They wanted to foster that mental growth, and they fed him steak while his brothers and sisters, whatever, got hot dogs. So they recognized it, and they did everything they could to nurture it. I would love to talk to people like that.
But what's interesting is when you look at maybe the best athletes of our generation, take Tiger Woods and Wayne Gretzky.
Go!
Those two guys fit the story of their parents knew at a young age, holy crap, my son is brilliant. And they nurtured it in a big-time way. That's why we've seen the clips of Tiger Woods playing golf when he's 5 years old. Wayne Gretzky doing hockey drills when he's 6 years old. But then you've got Jordan, who doesn't have that story. And then you have Tom Brady, who doesn't have that story.
Right.
And so here are four athletes, Gretzky, Woods, Jordan, Brady. Two of them, you could tell at a young age, holy crap, this guy's amazing. And they turned out to be, holy crap, this guy's amazing. And look at the other two all-time greats at MJ and Tom, who don't have that kind of same development at a really young age.
Yes, it differs. I agree, but I would say one thing. It's funny you mentioned Tiger. I find the late Earl Woods to be an abusive parent. And I watched the documentary, and it sickened me to my stomach.
No, I get it. Yeah.
The way that, you know, the way he treated a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old Tiger Woods was disgusting. Now, he created the world's greatest golfer. So maybe the payoff is, I was right, you guys were all wrong.
Yeah, that's the...
He was gifted, and he did play golf. And, you know, they tell the story about him in a high chair at 2 years old, you know, watching his father swing a golf club in the garage. Like, Tiger Woods' dad was an abusive father. Now, the end result was the greatest golfer to ever walk on a golf course.
And it's a fair question to say if his father wasn't that way, and I'm not defending it by any stretch because I agree with your take on him, what does Tiger Woods become? I don't know the answer.
Great question.
And that's not a defense of the way his father treated him, but I don't know the answer to it.
Don't you always wonder, like, if Tiger Woods' dad didn't force him into golf, do you think Tiger Woods would have naturally found golf? Do you think it's ingrained in you, like, Wayne Gretzky was going to play hockey, and obviously he's Canadian, and it's kind of like the backyard sport like it is basketball is for us. You know, every kid, good or bad, you know, you played pickup hoops when you were 5 years old, 8 years old.
I wasn't Jordan. You sucked.
Right. I was average.
Right.
But, you know, we did it. So Wayne Gretzky at some point in his life was naturally going to put a pair of skates on because that's what Canadians do. But I the Tiger thing bothers me because I just think his dad was abusive. But it's weird, like... You know, you have to give the DNA some credit, right?
Oh, the DNA gets a ton of credit.
Like, Wayne Gretzky's dad gets some credit because, you know, he picked the right woman to fall in love with. She picked the right man. His mom gets credit, obviously, same amount of credit. And their DNA combined in some kind of, like, Dr. What's that famous island? Dr. What island? Morrell?
Moreau.
Yeah, Dr. Moreau. The Dr. Moreau Island, they created this stupid, crazy offspring
that could do
stuff that no one else could do.
But don't you think there are guys and gals who had that same insane DNA to be an incredible athlete, but didn't love the sport?
Yes,
never played it, and there's that mystery. Like, Wayne Gretzky, and I don't know enough about how he was treated as a kid, but what I do know is that he was doing drills as a kid. His father was teaching him hockey as a 5-year-old.
Maybe he was abusive, too. I don't know.
I'm not saying that, and I'm not comparing him to Tiger's father because I don't know, but I do remember reading the stories about him doing, like, these crazy drills in their backyard.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, despite the great DNA... Does Wayne Gretzky become Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah.
And also the love of sport. Right. You know, last night, I was thinking about it. Elfrid Payton had a really good night for the Knicks.
Yes, he did.
And I was thinking about what you said, and we had talked about a few months ago how after a bad game, Elfrid Payton was taking jump shots. The story of Julius Randle, he just revealed that Kobe Bryant told him at an early age, as soon as you get to a city, we find a gym, we work out. That's a big part of it. Because there are a lot of guys with that God-given talent, with that DNA you talk about. But if you don't have that want to be the best, because you always say this, the best athletes have something in common. They don't want to lose to
between
you
their
anything.
Ears. Right.
It's between the
it's
ears.
It's not physical. It's between the ears. And yeah,
100%. And I think the all-time greats, and Wayne Gretzky is, he's not all-time great. He is the greatest. You got to have that combination. You have to love it. You've got to not stop working. You've got to have the God-given right. You got to have all of those things. And when you combine them, you get the greatest of all time.
So we'll get into that. We got lots of stuff to get to. It's Al Dukes' 20th anniversary in New York City radio. We'll talk to Al later today. I want to congratulate my main man. Of course, no disrespect to Tommy, but you know Tommy does not have a 20th anniversary. We got we got some stuff on Mark Sanchez pulling for Sam Darnold to get the hell out of town. One Jet quarterback to another. We'll go down that story. Of course, we are Coming to America, which actually came out last night. They released it a day early. And Tom Brady's rookie card sold for over $1 million. And I always figure, like, when you're a pro athlete, don't you get a copy of every card of your career? So, there's some claims of, like, one of one, that kind of stuff. Like, Luka Doncic's card, autographed, they claim is a one of one, just sold for $4.6 million. Doesn't he have one? Like, I was under the impression that when you have it, when they do the card deals, which they negotiate with the unions, you get a copy of your own card. So you don't think Luka Doncic's got one of them in his crib?
Then it ain't one of one, then it's one of two.
That's what I'm saying. Now, maybe he didn't autograph it yet, but he's going to at some point.
He can do whatever he wants to it.
So we'll get to all that stuff throughout the day. We may even have a little surprise for you later this afternoon. Not like yesterday. There's no more surprise announcements. But there may be a surprise later today anyway, which I think some of you will enjoy a great bit should it happen. I hate to be vague about it because I know it's cheesy and weak. It's soft cheese on that. But I'm going to say it anyway. There's the potential for a surprise later today that some of you will be very, very happy about hearing. And I just have to leave it at that. Is that good for you?
Makes me tingle a little bit.
Plus, the All-Star lineups got announced. The Utah Jazz got totally shamed and trolled, and there's so much more in between.
And you saw what loyalty was all about. That's what you saw last night.
Evan will explain that coming up a little bit after 3 o'clock as well. 877-337-6666. Plus, there's this really disgusting story about Les Miles. He's over at Kansas now. He used to be the LSU head coach. We don't talk about college football here a lot, but there's something totally fugazi about what went on back in, I think it was 2013 and beyond, when he was the head coach at LSU, that makes no sense at all. And we'll go down that road as well. So we call that a full Friday. Hopefully you'll join us throughout the afternoon. If you and listen, I'm going to say this one time. If you have a kid, I don't care how old the kid could be an adult now, that is truly like special, like has some amazing skill that makes them extraordinary, like top in the world or in their community at what they do. By all means, I'd love to hear how you foster that. But if you just love your kid and you're proud of him, and your kid hit like went like 2 for 4 in his first little league game, please don't call it that. Today we're not doing the old, my kid's so special, he got a hit. No, none of that. I want to know if your kid's Greg Louganis. I want to know if your kid is Pele.
Isn't it difficult? And I don't know if I'll ever be in this position, though I wish the best for Jet and Spence, that you don't know how good your kid is because we have a bias towards our kids.
Well, no, I think you do know.
No, but if you watch your kid play Little League Baseball, use that as an example, and they're hitting 450, they're hitting line drives all over the place.
Yeah.
They're making every play defensively. They're the best kid on the field. That happens.
Yes.
Every Little League has the best kid on the field.
But that kid,
that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be that future major leaguer. So as a parent, how the hell do you distinguish between the two?
Well, you have to be honest. Parents lie to themselves a lot about their kids' abilities.
That's my point.
Yes.
That's my point.
I'll tell you right now, the single best high school baseball player in the entire area is a kid in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to Fordham when he graduates high school, right?
Yep.
Great parents, great family, great kid, all right? But they also understand that he may not be the greatest player in the world.
Right.
Right? So parents know. It's like, real quick, I told this story before. We're running a downtown travel baseball league. John Franco's part of the coaching staff. So we're doing the tryouts, right? Kid gets up there, he wants to be a pitcher. So he goes to the pitching station. John Franco and John Halama are running the pitching station. All right, only the all-time saves leader in Mets history, right? And John Halama, who had a very good pro career as well, right?
Yeah, I know John
Kid
Halama.
Gets up there. Kid can't reach the plate. So he throws three pitches. He bounces two. One of them is like 30 feet left.
Mm-hmm.
So John Franco, being a good guy, says, "No worries, son. It's why I'm here. We're going to help you out. Go to the next station." And we, you know, all the kids rotate through. Kid's father comes running out of the stands. "What's going on? He only threw three pitches." And John goes, "Yeah, he's not ready to pitch yet at whatever the distance was, 40 feet, whatever it is, right? But that's, we're going to work with him. It's not that he's not making the team. He's just not going to be a pitcher on this particular team. My kid's the best player on every team he plays on." So John Franco, one of the great moments I've ever witnessed in coaching history.
What'd he say?
John Franco says to the guy, he goes, "The catcher knows he can't pitch. Your son knows he can't pitch. Everybody in this gym knows that he can't pitch except for you. So if you want to embarrass him and make him pitch more in front of everyone, go ahead and do that."
Wow.
So we, John shuts down practice, puts the kid out there on an island.
Oh, I feel bad for the kid.
"Are you sure you want your son to do this?"
Right.
He goes, "My son's the best player in this gym." "Okay, go ahead, got it." And then he kicked every parent out of the gym. No more parents allowed. Get out. Come back in an hour and a half. We'll tell you how your kid did.
Yeah.
Embarrassed his own son.
I know, I feel bad. Did he realize that after that, though?
Who knows with these parents?
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Of course, Pele grew up in abject poverty.
Right.
Jerry Rice, you know about the work ethic. You went to small school,
the whole bit.
And Gretzky, apparently, as a kid, I guess he saw it. Gretzky watched every hockey game known to mankind as a kid and tracked the puck on a piece of paper for the entire game.
I like that.
This is where he came up with the concept. It's not where the puck is, it's where it's going. He was not the best player as a kid. He just knew where the puck was going.
Yeah, but he
pretty cool.
I think he eventually did become the best player as a kid because when he was like 10, 11 years old, he was a prodigy. He really was.
He had to have been,
maybe
right?
At 5'6", this was part of him becoming that, part of him becoming this incredible hockey player at such a young age. I've always heard Dennis Rodman, who I know it becomes a joke now, but that Dennis Rodman, part of what made him such an incredible rebounder, one of the great rebounders in the history of the sport, despite not being, you know, 7 foot, is that he knew the art of where the basketball was going to bounce after it came off the rim.
Okay, that's pretty clever,
and
right?
And so...
What's that? Is that geometry or geology?
I think it's geology. I think it's geometry.
One of them's the study of rocks. The other one's the study of angles.
Well, basketball's a rock, so it could be both.
It could be both.
There you go.
There you go.
So if you've got the brain power plus the raw athleticism plus the work ethic, you become the unquestioned greatest player in your sport, which is what Wayne Gretzky is. There's no debate of that. Like every other sport, there's a debate. There's no debate with Wayne Gretzky, and I think it's because of everything.
Well, yeah.
If you take away
all of his goals and he's still got more points than anybody, what's the argument, right?
No, he has more goals than anybody. It's amazing.
More goals, more assists, and I love the people that hate Wayne. He never got hit. That's not his fault. He was protected for good reason.
He won the MVP award, the Hart Trophy, like 7 or 8 times in a row. Which is the definition of these guys far
and away.
That's the
MVP?
That's the MVP. He's far and away better than everybody else.
Look that up. How many MVP trophies did Gretzky win in his career?
I think he won 8 in a row. You could fact check me on that one, but I think in the 80s.
You think the other guys got pissed? You think Messier's pissed? Probably.
They were teammates.
He's probably like, "Yo, what about me? I don't get no love."
No, I think he got his love in New York City, that's for sure. Because that's
Messier?
The funny thing about New York is Wayne Gretzky's the greatest of all time, right? They both played here. Mark Messier is a bigger legend in New York City than Wayne Gretzky is.
Well, because of 94.
Bingo. Well, yeah.
He won 9 Hart trophies.
Did he win 8 in a row, though?
Look, I don't know if it was 8 in a row.
He won 9 MVPs.
He won 9.
That's stupid.
And he led the league in goals, points, and assists how many times?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy?
Absurd.
Listen, how do you think Like, there's no, we have no version of Wayne Gretzky. No one does. He's because of who he is. But, it, you know, he got traded.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you had the greatest of all time, like, not debatably, the greatest of all time, and, you know, Jeff Wilpon, James Dolan, you know, the Steinbrenners traded him. We're done with him. We're done with him. Well, could you imagine how New York would have reacted to that?
Well, what was the deal with why Edmonton traded him to the LA Kings?
I don't remember the whole story.
Years ago, I understand it's hockey.
Was that Bruce McNaw? Wasn't that the whole story? And he wound up going to prison or something, right? Because he had like some Fugazi card collection or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, crazy. Here's Matt in Shoreham. Matt, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Craigie, Evan, how are you guys?
What's up?
What's up?
What is up? Evan, you got it stolen by thunder a little bit there. I was planning to mention Tiger Woods as far as a childhood athlete and along that lines, but that didn't work out. So,
well, you had you couldn't have thought that you were going to be the first guy I mean, let's just be, you had to assume that that's the first guy we were going to talk about.
Of course. I mean, it jumps into your mind, doesn't it?
My question is, though, for you guys, I just have a baby. He's 10 years old, right? 10 months old, right?
Congratulations.
I appreciate that. Thank you. When do I start pushing him to a certain sport?
You don't. You don't. And that's the biggest problem, that there's dads out there who think they're raising the next Willie Mays or Wayne Gretzky. You ask any pro athlete, and they'll tell you, I mean, with, and be real serious about it, your kid should play every sport.
Yeah.
And then when they become 16 or 17, if they have a sport that they excel at or that they love themselves, that they want to concentrate on, great. But at 10 years old, kids should not be focused on a single sport. It's bad for their development.
You know, it's funny. I've always joked with my family about how much I can't stand soccer. I don't like soccer,
and
right?
What do I keep telling you?
And no, and I'm going to give you credit for something. So I just love to show Jet, who's four, all the sports. And I show him football, show him baseball, show him basketball, like everything, golf.
Yeah.
I've never showed him soccer. Not because I'm being a jerk, because I never played it. I don't know that much about it. And you made a comment early on when we were doing shows about how great it is for all kids to play soccer. So soccer was on at home. I wasn't around. He saw it on TV, and he said, I want to play that. So I took him out, and he loved it. He's running around. He's kicking the ball. So the one thing I've learned, and I'm learning, because think about it, I'm a father of a four-year-old and a five-month-old, so this is still all kind of new to me, is to just let him play everything. And if he loves soccer, if soccer becomes his favorite sport, good for him. We may not share that in common, but good for him.
Yeah.
So let him play everything.
Soccer's great for his age because it's running around. It's just getting outside.
You're right.
It's doing stuff.
And you know what I've noticed? Soccer is the easiest thing to understand.
Yeah.
Like trying to explain baseball to I was explaining it to him when he was two. Now four, it's complicated. But soccer, it's simple. Go run and kick that ball and eventually kick it in the goal.
Wait till you see the childhood swarm.
Where they all come to the ball.
Because at 4 or 5 years old, there's no such thing as positions as much as the coach tries.
Right.
So it's there's two kinds of kids. There's the swarm, and like 4 or 5 kids on both teams, so like 8 or 9, 10 kids, swarm around the ball.
Right.
Then there's 4 or 5 kids on each team that are picking daisies, looking up in the sky, you know, having a great time, but not playing soccer. And then there's the 1 or 2 kids who are the aggressive kids in the swarm that come out of the swarm with the ball. You'll love it. And every one of us has experienced it, and our kids have played every role.
Right.
But you'll see, you'll be upset the first time Jet's on a field or Spence's on a field, and they're not in the swarm. It's going to break your heart. But there'll come a day when they stop picking daisies and they're in the swarm, and you're going to love that. So don't get upset.
I'm not.
The first time he goes out there and he shows an unwillingness to swarm.
Right.
I remember the first time my guy, my little Anthony, played soccer. There's a kid on the other team fell down. The ball's coming to Anthony. He went over and helped the kid up.
Wow.
And we're like, what are you doing?
What a parent you are. No, that's the ultimate compliment. You taught your son so right. He said, forget the game.
Yeah,
I got to help this
He
kid.
Went over to this other kid on the other team, helped him up.
We're like, know something? You're going to think I'm nuts. I think that's better than being in the Swarm.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, because long-term, that's better, man.
Yeah. Here is Brian in Bergen County on the Fan. Brian, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
So you were mentioning about, well, first soccer and part of this story. You were mentioning about kids, your parents of gifted athletes. So my daughter, I'm a father of two young daughters, one of whom early on when she was about two was quickly identified randomly, actually, as being extraordinarily gifted at math. And nobody knew where it really came from. It's not genetic, I can assure you of that. But it was more of like she came home from school one day and like her teacher wrote a note like, call me or call us, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I don't want to use names, it was like, you know, your daughter said and did things today that we've never witnessed from a two-year-old.
Wow.
So we're like, okay, that's interesting. So then we just started, you know, looking around online, obviously, and there's all sorts of junior math leagues. But this is normally for kids who are like 7, 8, 9 going into middle school. So then it becomes like my three-year-old starts attending like a meeting and she doesn't really know why she's there other than she's starting to like do work side by side with kids who are like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
And then she's starting to surpass them
very
quickly.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's like a Queen's Gambit, but in a different way. I gotcha.
Right. And it was a wild thing because, again, we didn't know how to foster it. We just knew we had something unique, or that she was unique in a way that we never obviously saw and most educators hadn't seen. And we're still doing, you know, and now she's, you know, the way we try and normalize her life is with soccer. It's something that.
So let me ask you this. Has she.
Very good at, but she enjoys it.
Has she leveled off, or is she still way ahead of people her age, kids her age?
Oh, no, she's not. The leveling off is not, it's not even close.
Like, got it.
Now she's 5 and she's doing, I don't know, because now there's other teachers involved and now she's doing like high school. And,
wow.
Wow.
Now here's my biggest question.
It's crazy though.
Does she like it?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, like I said, I don't work in a profession with math, nor does my wife. She sort of just takes to it and in her free time, and you know, now that it's, you know, winter's coming to an end, she did a lot of it during the past 6 months because we were in, or 4 months.
I got you.
Now the goal is to be like, okay, go outside and play.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You do your math and you do your math. I'm sort of like, it's a constant learning experience. We're a few years into this, and as long as she's enjoying it, Godspeed. It's not something.
Yeah, I think it's the right attitude. Go be a normal kid, and we recognize your brain's wired in a way that. You get math,
yeah.
And as long as it's fun and you don't feel pressure doing it,
that's the
great.
Key.
That's like a beautiful mind, Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Buddy.
That was the key. Do you like doing it? Because I was thinking about it with the athletes. It seems like Tiger Woods loves golf, but another great player who I think was pushed into it was Andre Agassi. Remember hearing the story about him
his
and his
dad
father?
Was like a militant instructor.
Oh, my God. He would like have to play tennis all day long.
But you know what the trade-off is? Because I remember I've talked to Wayne a number of times. And he had a terrible childhood, by his own admission. He despises his childhood.
You're talking about Andre Agassi?
Andre Agassi,
okay,
yes.
No, I just want to make
he
sure.
He despises his childhood.
Right.
But there came a point in his life, I remember talking to him about it, where he looked back and recognized the amazing life he has going forward, and he only has that because of the terrible childhood. And the pressure his dad
put
on.
That's what I'm thinking in regards to Tiger when we talk about how his father treated him. It sucks, right? Especially when we look at it, we read about it, we hear about it. Yeah. But what is Tiger Woods without it? It's not to excuse it, but Andre Agassi basically admitted that to you.
I
hated it, but what am I without that?
Right.
Am
he came to terms with it, I guess, at some point. But that doesn't happen until later in life when you're an adult. You know, not despised, what's the word I'm thinking of? He resented his father.
Right.
For a long time.
I thought, and you tell me because you spoke to him, I thought he started to dislike tennis because of that.
Yes. Also, they get burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, they're at like that Nick Bollettieri camp when they're 8 years old, and it's, you know, 18 hours a day of tennis, and you wonder why at 23 years old, Jennifer Capriati's mainlining heroin in a hotel room.
Right.
You know, they get burnt out. Now, Andre Agassi, everything worked out for him. He married Steffi Graf.
Sure, sure.
He's living out in Vegas. He's got boatloads of money.
It worked out well for him.
And life's pretty, pretty good.
It worked out well for Andre.
Yeah. I still remember that story. He goes, he was worried that his hair was going to fall out at the U.S. Open or Wimbledon or something because he had, like, extensions in.
Yeah.
And then he just said, F it, I'm going bald.
That's why I wonder sometimes.
That was the Brooke Shield days.
Right. I recall. Yeah. I wonder sometimes. You know, some athletes pick a sport that wasn't their favorite. They say, I'm going to play basketball, but my favorite sport is football.
You do hear that more now.
You do hear that, right? I wonder if that will hold you back into greatness, because to be truly great, to be Kobe Bryant, we'll use him as an example. Kobe Bryant would go take jump shots after a game. He would go practice the next day. You really have to live it, eat it, breathe it. You got to love it.
Yeah.
How can you do that without truly loving it?
You know,
and so if you pick a sport that isn't your favorite, can you work to that level?
I guess some guys can. That's still the internal part of it. You know the outlier book, 10,000 hours. If you want to be great at something, you got to put 10,000 hours of practice into it.
Why does Tom Brady still play football? It's a very simple question, but what is the answer?
I believe it's the competitive spirit.
He loves football.
Yeah.
It's the competitive spirit, and he loves it. He loves it. He doesn't need to do it anymore from a money perspective, from a winning perspective, but that's true love of the game right there.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.